You're listening to the Monica Cade podcast, where we bring you stories and interviews that support you to find your voice and express yourself authentically. We welcome you into the private lives of some of the best thought leaders, creative minds, and entrepreneurs around. Hear them share actionable ways that you can become more aware and purposeful in creating your best life. You can find the show notes on our website, monicacade.com, or follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Monica Cade. But for now, let's dive into the show. Welcome to episode 67 of the Monica Cade podcast. Today we're talking to Jessica Rufus, who is the founder and CEO of Collabosaurus, an online matchmaking platform for brands. She believes that business collaborations are necessary to build a modern business, gain exposure in new locations, and reach audiences in an authentic way. Whether it's for events, product, or social media collaborations, Jess has built Collabosaurus as a way to source, create, and grow opportunities in any industry. She's also spoken at Apple, General Assembly, the Australian Style Institute, Collective Hub, ADMA, and the College of Event Management. So without further ado, let's welcome her now. Good morning, Jess. Thank you so much for joining me.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've got such an exciting business. I think it's really awesome, you know, what you've really brought to life. But I guess for the listeners, not everyone knows about you and your journey. So I was wondering if maybe you can just give us a sneak behind the scenes of how you got to where you are today.
I mean, I started doing lemonade stalls when I was about five, so I suppose it goes back that far. But oh, look, it really, Collabosaurus came about because I was working in fashion and lifestyle PR, and we were constantly pulling together media launch events for our fashion clients. So every new season, we'd want to showcase the new line to journalists and influencers and bloggers. But because the fashion brands are already paying us as an agency a fair bit already, the event budgets weren't very extravagant, and we were often relying on our own networks of other publicists to try and pull together things like venue partnerships, catering partnerships, photographers on like contra work, goodie bag inclusions, that kind of stuff. And it was really frustrating and a real scramble, especially for someone like me, where I went out of university straight into this publicity job, and I didn't really have a huge network set up at that point. So I was really scrambling and found it really hard.
Yeah.
And then from there, I went and worked for a small business marketing education company and kind of saw brand partnerships and collaborations from the smaller business side. And I knew how effective they could be. And so I asked a lot of the brands we were working with, you know, why is it that you're not exploring partnerships and collaborations more as like a marketing tool? And found that most of the time these brands were saying either they'd sent a pitch out and hadn't heard back, or they'd been taken advantage of in the past, which is such a shame, or they just don't know where to start.
Mm.
So I was trying to pull together a collaboration for an event we were running ourselves, and kind of Tinder was popular, and I thought, oh my gosh, how amazing would it be to have a Tinder-style platform that would connect complementary brands for marketing partnerships. So that's kind of how it started, but it's been about just over 3 years now, and we started as a tool for publicists and have pivoted quite a few times since then.
Mm, sounds amazing. So when you had this concept kind of come into your mind, what was the process from then? Because often we have ideas, but, you know, what were the next steps for you? Like, did it take off? You know, obviously it didn't take off straight away to the degree that it is at now, but what was that initial ideation process like for you?
Yeah, so I had the idea at 2 a.m. one morning. I couldn't get to sleep because I thought this was the most genius idea ever and I was going to be the next Mark Zuckerberg and that we would have success overnight because it was so amazing. So I think the process, I had that idea, 2 a.m. or something and couldn't get to sleep. And so I wrote it down in a notepad next to my bed. And then the next morning, it was still a good idea, but it wasn't as great as what
it's
I thought it was.
It's always better at 2 a.m.
Yeah, and I hadn't properly worked out the algorithm and how it was exactly going to work. So what I actually did was I sat on the idea and I didn't tell anyone about it for about 4 or 5 weeks. And then when it still excited me and it still stuck with me, then I started to kind of fiddle around with, you know, like not a business plan, because I can't say I pulled together one of those, but, you know, an A4 page of exactly how that would work and what it would look like and all that kind of stuff. Then I asked my dad, I asked a few friends, and I asked a few publicists that I worked with, you know, what they thought of the idea, and had a really good response. And it kind of went from there. But I mean, from idea through to when it was built and launched and everything, it was just under a year, I would say.
Amazing. Yeah. And did you also have days where you just felt like ripping your hair out and wanting to quit?
Oh my gosh, about twice a week, I would say, consistently for the last 3 years. There's always something. There's always a new challenge. And I mean, we're just in the process of trying to raise a round of capital at the moment, which is a whole new challenge and a whole new set of reasons to rip your hair out, I suppose. But yeah, plenty of times sort of giving it up.
What would you say to maybe business owners that are just starting out and they're in the place that you were at when you were first starting? What's something you learned along your path?
You know, looking back, I think when I started Collabosaurus, I was quite naive as to what I was getting myself into. And I actually don't regret that. I'm glad that I went in a little bit naive and I learned along the way. But I think, you know, there's some really good advice that someone else gave me, which is, you know, you have to love it enough to be working on it free of charge for, a, you know, 5 years minimum kind of thing, because, you know, it takes so much longer than you think to see success. I mean, I would not say that Collabosaurus is successful right now, like to my standards, you know, where I want it to be. We have achieved so much and I'm so proud of the things that we have achieved, but we have a long way to go and we're definitely not successful in every aspect of the business. So I think my advice to people sort of starting out and facing all of the obstacles that come your way when you start and grow a business is, you know, give it time. Patience is probably the biggest asset you have.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think, you know, we do seem to live in this society where it's like, oh, I want that success immediately. It seems that the media's portrayed that, you know, all these tech businesses that seem to be the overnight success just happened overnight, when the reality is they don't. And we don't hear those stories, I think.
I think as well, it's one of those things where, you know, everyone is talking about how there's no such thing as an overnight success, but it's one of those things that everyone hears but doesn't actually listen to, if you know what I mean. So it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's going to take time, yeah, yeah. But then when you're in it, you know, it can be devastating, it can be really hard, and you can forget about that kind of advice. But, I mean, if you look at any successful company, you know, it's taken 5-6 years for them to see a lot of success. Absolutely.
You mentioned that you sat on your idea for like 5 weeks. So would you suggest that other business owners or entrepreneurs or whatever this person listening to this podcast at the moment calls themselves, would you suggest that they do that? Or because there's also the popular belief that it's also good to talk about your ideas. Where do you think is, like, where do you draw the line?
I think that's a good question. I think for me, because I have ideas all the time, I've got a bit of shiny object syndrome. You know, I see something cool, I go, yes, I really want to do that. So I think for me, it was really important to sit on it just for a couple of weeks and really work out how I was going to talk about it to people. Just because, you know, I, at the time, I couldn't even explain it in one sentence, you know, whereas, and in the first person I told Collabosaurus the idea to was my cousin. And the first thing he said was, okay, you need to work on your elevator pitch. Like, you need to work on how you can communicate what Collabosaurus is in 10 seconds or so. So I think, you know, everyone's very different and it is very important to be talking about your idea. But I think getting quite clear on the idea first in your head is really important before you start talking to people about it. Because then instead of, you know, working on the surface stuff around your brand, you can talk to other people about getting into the nitty gritty. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think even with my own clients, I find that they'll come to me, but they're not clear on the very basic foundation of things. And it's like, if you don't have that clarity, then it's really going to be a detriment later down the track, even if you do get off the ground right now.
Mm. Well, and that then your conversation with them ends up being, you know, half an hour working out how to get clear on the idea rather than half an hour spent on, you know, how can you make this thing scale and how can you build the product or whatever. You know, it can be so much more beneficial when you're talking about it if you have like heaps of clarity around your idea in the first place.
Yeah, exactly right. Now tell me, what have you seen as like, what is the power of collaboration?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm biased, but I think it's amazing. my background's in marketing. So I love creative marketing campaigns. That is absolutely what gets me going. And I've always kind of known that brand collaborations and partnerships are powerful, but we haven't really been able to quantify how powerful exactly they can be until, you know, the last 12 months or so, because we have all the statistics and things from all the digital marketing mediums. So we've actually done our research and figured out that, you know, when done through Collabosaurus, brand collaborations are 30 times less expensive than other digital advertising, which is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if you compare Facebook ads and influencer advertising, banner advertising and Google AdWords, it's 30 times less expensive on average, which is incredible. So we knew they were powerful, but we didn't know they were that that powerful. I think as well, you know, that's a very quantifiable thing to put a number on it and go, you know, it's 30 times less expensive. But it's obvious to see that, you know, brand collaborations don't only allow you to reach new audiences, but they engage the audiences you reach. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's about getting creative and pushing marketing out across multiple channels. I think a lot of brands are putting all of their eggs in the Instagram basket right now. And I think, you know, the real effective marketing campaigns are ones that tap into multiple channels in really creative ways. And we've seen so many brand partnerships be able to do that in a very clever way. If you look at things like Peter Alexander and Moccona, or Tim Tam and Gelato Messina, or GoPro and Red Bull, or Spotify and Uber. I mean, there's so many. But basically, two complementary brands teaming up to do something cool is a really great way to not only essentially double their reach, but also engage the people, their existing audiences and the new audiences as well that they're reaching. So, I mean, the power of brand collaborations, I'm very biased, but I mean, they're incredibly powerful from a monetary perspective, but also just from, you know, a creative marketing perspective as well.
Mm. What would you say to brands that maybe are just a lot smaller at this point in time, but they feel like they could really benefit from working with the brand that is more established? Do you think that, because I feel that those smaller brands may feel like, oh, but I have nothing to bring to the table. I'm interested to hear your take on that.
That's absolutely not true. I think if you started a business today or yesterday, you still have something another brand wants to tap into. That is always true. And I think it really comes down to being able to communicate that and identify that in your business, which is why, you know, the way that we've built Collabosaurus, it's actually free to launch a campaign on there. So I would definitely recommend actually trying that if you're new to the whole thing, because we use things like checklists and drop down menus. So it's easy. You don't have to sit there and try and formulate a pitch. We cut out the need to pitch and you can select things from drop down menus. So, I mean, I would say to a small business, you know, you might not have a huge social media following, but it's absolutely not about having a social media following at all. I think, you know, have a look at your skill set, have a look at your products. You know, if you're a graphic designer, you could definitely offer graphic design in exchange for exposure. You can offer, I mean, what I did when I started Collabosaurus is I had no budget, I had no social media following or email list to speak of, but I really, of course, wanted to collaborate with other brands. Mm. And so what I would do is I'd pretty much offer up my time and skill set. So I came from the PR space and I basically said to anyone that I was looking to partner with, hey, you know, I'm looking for XYZ and what I can do in return is I can pitch it to press, I can pull the landing page together, I can do all of the work basically in exchange for you you to, you know, promote it to your community kind of thing. So what I ended up exchanging was my time and skill set for what I was looking for, which was marketing exposure. So I think a brand of any size can absolutely tap into the power of brand collaborations and not to shy away from it. I mean, the worst thing that can happen is they can say no, which means you're in the exact same position you were in when you started. You got nothing to lose. But I mean, yeah, Collabosaurus is a great place to start because it guides you through that process, and it's totally free, guides you through the process as to how to structure what you can offer, and all it kind of breaks down all of the different things you can offer.
Which is so awesome because, you know, even if you are a brand new business and even if you are new to collaborating and brand partnerships, it's like you can also learn along the way. So you're kind of teaching yourself while also a step ahead of someone that's maybe trying to do this on their own, I think.
I think a lot of people as well get stuck in that, oh, well, I don't have a big idea as well. You know, they go, well, I'm not big enough myself yet and I don't really know exactly what a brand collaboration would look like for me and my brand. But the great thing is that you actually don't have to have a great idea to get started. I mean, Collabosaurus breaks down brand collaborations into a couple of sort of hero types. So there's social media collabs, and that could look like anything from content creation and cross promotion through to giveaways and competitions, or there's events, which could be you as a brand getting involved in someone else's event for like a really engaging experience. Or if you're running an event and you're looking for collaborators, you can use event collaborations as well. Or there's product collaborations. And from this perspective, you can do physical or online products. So, you know, service-based businesses, you could definitely collaborate on things like ebooks or webinars or downloadables or printables. That's a really good way to look at online product collabs. But physical collabs, they probably take a little bit longer than the others just because there's design and manufacturing involved. But I think they're probably one of the most powerful. If you've seen things like Shandon and Seafolly recently did a product collaboration where they put the print from the latest Seafolly swimwear onto a limited edition bottle of Shandon sparkling wine, and it went nuts. It was like this limited edition release. Both brands were able to promote it, so they were basically able to double their reach. And also, it was such a cool bottle. I mean, everyone loved it, and like, you know, so many people bought it up and shared it on social media and stuff as well. So it was super, super powerful. I think, you know, don't worry too much about having this big idea or having this big social media following. You can get started straight away without either of those things.
It sounds exciting. And I think you make it even more exciting because I can hear the passion in your voice when you talk about it. It's awesome.
I feel like I've been nonstop talking about it for like 3.5 years.
But it's good because it's, you know, it's contagious. And I think I know, you know, I'm excited talking to you about it. And I know that the listeners are probably getting something out of it too, because I just think that idea that, oh, my social media following, because, you know, we're told that social media is such a huge part of business now. And I think that can be really discouraging because people look at their account and be like, well, I'm no influencer and I have no pull. And so I'm sure that for so many of our listeners, they're just like, oh my God, that is the greatest news I've ever heard, that they can start now and they don't need that.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I think as well, I mean, social media, it's so funny. I think it's changing. It changes every day. So I think, you know, how we build our social media, like our Instagram following, for example, we have about 26,000 followers on Instagram, but we started building that, you know, 4 years ago, where Instagram was completely different. It was that chronological structure. There were hardly any B2B service type businesses or softwares using Instagram effectively. And I think, you know, if I was to start the Collabosaurus Instagram today, it would take me twice as long to build up that following. But the great news is for small businesses and startups is that the bigger following accounts are actually reaching less people. So you have so much more of an opportunity to actually engage your community and get in front of more people by having a sort of a smaller following. I mean, I know someone who's got about 5,000 followers on Instagram, and she gets the exact same engagement rate that we do. Wow. So I would absolutely not worry at all about the following thing. I think that is so dead, and it's all about engagement, you know, how you're actually reaching and interesting your audience.
I think you've just made some people's days today, Jess.
Good. I hope so.
So before we wrap up our interview, I've got some signature questions for you.
Okay.
So if you weren't in your current career, what would you like to attempt?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I actually started, so when I finished high school, I really wanted to go into film, mm-hmm. and I started my degree in cinematography and film, mm-hmm. and then I ended up doing radio and journalism and a whole lot of stuff around that area, and I absolutely loved it. I was lucky enough to sort of be on the set of The Great Gatsby, and I worked on a couple of music video productions as well, which was so exciting. And the reason I didn't go down that path is because I was doing a work experience placement and a woman told me that I should get out now and that I wouldn't make any money doing this unless I wanted to move to the States. And I was very impressionable at that stage, and so I just took her advice and switched careers. But I think if I could go back, I would definitely give the film industry a go.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting story. Yeah. Okay, tell me, what do you think is your best asset?
Personally or in the business?
You can give me both.
I think personally, I'm overly and weirdly positive. Mm. Like, I can bounce back pretty quickly from being kicked to the curb. So I think, my positivity is a bit of an asset. It can also be a bit of a detriment sometimes. But, yeah, that's probably what I'd say for that. And then, I mean, from Calabasaurus, the fact that we can use the dating analogies, I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of a cheeky asset that we've got, as the matchmaker for brands. And yeah, I don't know. I really like the brand and how we've been able to build that really organically and incrementally over time. We have such an incredible community. So our community is our asset, but also our brand.
And tell me, are you afraid of anything?
Oh my gosh, yes. all kinds of things. Needles, I'm phobic with needles.
Oh, really?
But I mean, you know, from a business perspective, there's a huge fear of failure. And I mean, we fail all the time in little ways, but mm-hmm. I think my biggest fear is to, you know, have a huge competitor come and rip us out of the market, which is really funny because I think realistically that can't happen because, you know, there's room for everyone and we have such a solid community and we have so long to go and improve and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, I can't deny that that, of course, is a fear, just like with any other business owner. You know,
yeah. Isn't that funny? And well, you know, I think your positivity is an attribute to that because I think that will probably conquer your fear.
I hope so. It's a balancing act sometimes.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us. It was such a delightful conversation. You are very bubbly and a great way to start my day.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care, Jess.
You too.